Welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys podcast, episode 427. We're up to the sequel to Olympus Has Fallen. We're up to London Has Fallen from 2016. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, introduce our special guest.
Yeah, we have a special guest. He's been on before, and he's back to talk some movies. Our buddy Rich is here. You also know him as TurnerFan77 on Instagram. He's also part of the Faces for Radio channel on YouTube. But Rich, I'll let you tell everyone where they could find you on YouTube, Instagram, wherever.
You can find me on Instagram and YouTube under TurnerFan77. And I have a link for my letterbox in my YouTube, so if you want to follow me there.
There you go. He watches literally 970 movies a year. So you can see all his scores over on his Letterboxd. Check him out. And welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. It's an honor to be here, man. I love hanging out with you guys.
And I hope you wrote down your numbers this time.
Right? I did.
All right.
Nice.
Yes.
All right. So with that said, let's get to some box office numbers. Now, this movie was budgeted at $60 million, the sequel, and it grossed $205 million worldwide. Now, that's success. They learned their lesson from the first one. Because the first one was $70 million. They didn't make as much.
But the sequel, like 170 or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So it didn't make as much, but it looks like the sequel doubled the first film. Not by much, but in terms of the budget, it did a great job. It's kind of semi-successful. So with that, Nate, what do you think?
No, it did well. It had a $10 million less budget and it made like $30 million more. So This is the highest grossing in the franchise is London Has Fallen. Spoiler alert for the next one, but it's the highest grossing. This is a weird series because when we talk about Angel Has Fallen, you know, in a couple of episodes, when Alex goes over the budget, you'll see it went down. Like the budget went down for every movie, but the money, you know, it was a successful franchise. Is it like a monster? No, but moderately budgeted action movies that made a profit. And I wish studios would take note. Every movie does not have to cost $250 million because this one cost 60. As some parts you could tell, but it still made money. So yeah, I mean, good for it.
Yep. What do you think, Rich?
I love this franchise. Yeah, this is kind of action movies I really like. Like the first one with Gerard Butler, just like I believe that character. Like he is, what is that guy's name?
Mike Banning.
Yeah, there you go. I believe that. And when you said we're going to do these movies, I was like, I have to jump in because I just had so much fun with I didn't think it was that low of a budget because everything looked good.
Yeah.
And yeah, these are just fun movies.
Yeah, I was a little shocked when I saw this one. I was like, damn, this thing's pretty high. Yeah. But when you do watch the movie, it looks way more polished than Olympus Has Fallen. So it looked more cinematic.
Which is like weird because Antoine Fuqua directed the first one and he's good. Like he's a way better director than the guy who did this one.
Who directed this one?
Some guy. Something Bakari or something like that. I mean, I looked up his filmography afterward and he's done like two or three movies I've even heard of.
His name is like Babak Najafi.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Like
he's Iranian.
Yeah.
He's an Iranian director.
Well, he did a pretty good job. I'll say he did a pretty good job.
Yeah. But he's a better director.
I think is because the first movie was in the daytime and this one was mostly day and night. So
I don't know. Outside. They went outside in this one.
Yeah. It wasn't mostly indoors. It was mostly out. So it looks better. But anyway, with that said, Nate, what did the critics and audience have to say about London?
Well, I'm glad you guys are happy because these numbers are not good for both of these. We'll start with the audience score. The first movie had a 66%, if you remember correctly. It was fresh. This one had a 15% drop down to 51%. So pretty much half and half as far as regular audience members. Half liked it, half didn't like it so much. But the critics, it took a mighty tumble. Now, the first movie had a 50%. So the first movie with critics was how this one was with audiences. This thing is a 28% for the critic score. So very low. And I distinctly remember, gentlemen, when this movie came out, a lot of the reviews were negative because of the portrayal of Middle Eastern people.
Yeah.
That was like the big thing in 2016. I think it was 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be that. And a lot of these reviews are from then. They're not all like updated or anything like that. So if I remember correctly, that played a big factor in it, but it's not great. 28%, pretty low.
That's interesting.
They're wrong.
That's very interesting. You know, it's funny. This is getting the same treatment as the Rambo 5. Remember, it was like during that whole, it was just weird with the review bombing due to certain things in the film.
They said, the Mexicans don't kidnap people.
Oh, yeah, that's
right.
They don't
do human trafficking.
Okay. It was stupid with that stuff. Yeah. So anyway, with that said, all right, let's get into it with the lead character, Mike Banning. Everyone's back from the first film in this one. So, Rich, you're the special guest, so you get to go first.
I love this character. Just, he's confident and the little quirks he has, like when his wife, they're married, right?
Yes.
And she's like, come here, look into the baby's room. And he's got like monitors all up, cameras all around. Yeah. I like that, you know, because he's a first time father. He's not confident in that, but anything else, he'll save you. But he just didn't know how to take care of a little baby. I really like that. He had some good comedic timing in there. I like that. I don't know, man. He's just a badass, all around badass in this movie.
What you give him?
Five.
All right. 5 out of 5. All right, Nate, what you got for Mike Banning?
All right. Well, I was the odd man out last week when it was just me and Alex because he liked Mike Banning. He gave him a high score and I gave him a 3. Now, I like Gerard Butler. And you know what? In this movie, I actually liked him a little better than the first movie. And Rich touched on why. He had some pretty good one-liners, a little humor. One thing I mentioned was Olympus Has Fallen is Die Hard in the White House. That's what it is. It's a Die Hard rip. This one, a little different because they are in a lot of different locations. It's not just one building, one man against an army. Even Aaron Eckhart's like in on the action on this one. He's shooting people and blowing people up, whatever. But one thing Mike Banning didn't have in the first movie was no jokes, really. Like, he was not funny. It was very serious, straightforward. Here, he is a little more quippy. And I do think it actually helps because, again, he's pretty much just like Secret Service guy. Adding the kid the future kid adds a little bit of level, like he's thinking of resigning. I just think that they did more with him in this movie than they did in the first movie. So I actually am going to up my score by one whole point. I gave him a 4 out of 5. I actually like him in this movie better. He's like the same, but has a little more layers. So I liked him a little better. So I gave him a 4.
I loved him in this movie. I don't know. I like the character. I give him a 5. I thought he was perfect in this movie. I thought it continued. The character continued. There was nothing new, nothing different besides him having a kid and he wants to resign, but he's like conflicted on it because, you know, he's very American and he loves his job to the fullest. So I like that. It's like, it's very 007. Like one, I think it was Casino Royale when he keeps resigning. He's like, ascends it, he gets it, and then he comes back. So it's a lot of 007 when he just wants to resign and doesn't. But I do like this movie. I like the friendship with the president. I think it's really fun. I like the fact that he's very well known in the White House now because of all the events that happened in the first movie. So like the vice president, Morgan Freeman, sees him and he's like, hey, Mike, how you doing? When they see each other in the White House, I thought that was pretty cool. Angela Bassett and him, very good relationship. Tragedy hits with her, which kind of sucks. I was like, man, they killed her off quick on this one. But I could see why they did it to move the story along. And I thought it worked very well. I thought it was pretty cool. Yeah, I don't see nothing different in terms of the character, like moving from film to film. But I liked it enough because he was just the same. But he was more badass, I think, in this one. Because like he got the mercenaries with him at the end. And I was like, oh, baby. I was like, hell yeah. And when he beats the shit out of the bad guy, I was like, that's how you want it. The guy can't fight. And I told Nate this. We talked about it because we did so many action movies. Every time the bad guy fights the hero and he does not know how to fight, he knows how to fight. Like, they just go toe to toe. And you're like, what? That makes no damn sense. This guy's a special forces versus a normal person, but they could fight. This one, my man cannot fight. He got his ass lit. And I was like, loved it. I was like, that's how it should be. But it worked. So Mike Banning was perfect in this. So I gave him a 5. Rich gave him a 5. Nate gave him a 4. A point up from last week's Olympus Has Fallen. I am so happy with that.
Climbing the charts.
He's climbing the charts, but I think he's going to stay there after 3.
He might go down the charts. We'll see.
All right. With that said, the main villain. Now, there's a lot of villains in this. I mean, geez Louise.
But the main villain, though, is a guy. His the character's name is Amir Barkawi. Yeah, he is the leader of the. He's the one whose family gets blown up, and he plans the revenge.
Yes, that's that guy. Yeah. So, go ahead, Rich. Nate, you go first.
Okay. Rich may not know this because he wasn't on the last week's show, but this was my first. I've never seen this movie. This was the first time watching.
Oh, wow.
I've only seen Olympus and 15 Minutes of Angel. I've never seen this one. So this was the first time watch. Okay, villain. Alex, I think you will agree with me. I know, Rich, I don't know, but you, I know your taste and you know my taste at this point. This is one of those villains who's not even in the movie. He's off in another place, being like in a command center. And then you have like the people in London, like the hacker guy in the wheelchair. You have the guy who were just explaining can't fight and gets beat up and then gets blown up at the at the end. He dies in the fire.
I think that's his son's. Because he said, my sister, I was holding my sister.
Yeah, but I bet you don't remember their names. because they're not like, you know, none of these characters are like super memorable. They're just bad guys. I don't know. I gave it a 3. I preferred the Koreans in the first movie. Like, I understood their mission and why they were doing it, and it was political. This is literally a revenge plot where they decide to kill like 1,000 innocent people just so they could kill the president in London. And then I have a lot of issues with it, and we'll wait for storyline. But as far as the villains go, I think they're formidable. They're formidable, but they still, at the end of the day, like, even the U.S. president is like murking a bunch of them. So like, how good are they? He wasn't even, there's no talk of like the president ever being in the military. You know, like, remember Independence Day where Bill Pullman was in the Air Force? He knows how to fly a plane. Mm-hmm. Here, this guy's just a president. He's shooting the machine gun. He hits that dude dead on from when he comes out of the closet. And then Mike Bain's like, oh, you finally came out of the closet. I'm like, okay. He shot him right in the head. He's never, maybe even never shot a gun. I don't know. So I don't know. These villains are like, they're formidable because there's a lot of them, but they're all kind of dumb. Like, Angela Bassett dies because they're shooting heat-seeking rockets and pole ghoster. She might have lived too. She probably would have shot some of them if she got free. So,
well, I got some stuff with that scene. Yeah. All right. You gave it a 3. Rich, what you got for the villains?
I liked the villains because to me, it felt like something a terrorist, or I almost said those people, that the terrorists would do. And because they're vindictive and it's all about them getting their revenge, I like the dude not being there and him sending lackeys or his kids and then them fucking it all up. So yeah, I dug it. I did like when you brought it up earlier, Mike Manning was beating the hell out of the one dude. He goes, well, this guy doesn't die.
Oh, the guy with the white shirt?
Yeah. I like those. I liked, and then when he's, are they in the subway when they get, this is the first kill. I mean, like hand-to-hand combat, right?
Yeah.
That's the first, like when he stabs a dude and the president's like, was that necessary? And he's like, nope.
Yeah.
And they just walk off.
I think that was the brother of the guy who's towards, who's going to take the
metro
station.
Right.
Yeah. That was the brother of that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. I liked that bad guy. He was there for a purpose. So I dug it. I dug these villains. I gave it a 4.
All right. So, damn, this week, I'm Nate. This week, I'm Nate. I gave it a 2.5.
Hey.
But this is why. And this is why. This is why. I totally agree with you, all you guys. But for me, the plan executed very well. I liked it. It got me engaged. But let's really peel it back a bit. The old guy that runs the thing just was chilling, drinking coffee, talking on a sat phone. Yeah. In Iran or whatever the fuck he was, drinking coffee. And that's it. We only saw him in like 2 or 3 scenes. He talks to the president.
Isn't that how most terrorists leaders are? They send all the other people out while they hide in a cave with their goats.
Yeah, but then some of them get their hands dirty. Like, there's other movies that the guy comes out of the woodwork and like a video game, and he wants to fight the hero because, you know, I mean, in this particular movie, yeah, you're right. He does exactly what other people do, is that they stand behind and let their sons get killed and everything. You're right. But at the end of the whole thing, he's not formidable. Like, I don't know his name. Only the people that were in the movie knew his name. I was just like, okay, great. We knew more about their sons because their sons is the one that are doing the entire destruction.
And at that, he's an arms dealer. He's not even like the true terrorist type where he's planning stuff. He's an arms dealer.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I guess.
He's not like Osama bin Laden, where he shoots or do all, like, you know, the U.S. taught him and, you know, he was CIA and all this BS. You know, this dude was straight up an arms dealer. The United States blew his ass up thinking he was in it, but killed his daughter and everyone in that party in the beginning of the movie. Yeah, in a wedding. Thinking that was him. And then 2 years later, he masterminds this entire thing from Iran and having coffee. Like, to me, it's just, there's some stuff that did not flow with me. But like I said, you have that. Then you have the other son that's in a wheelchair most of the time, and he's cracking into like everything. Satellite footages and all this stuff. And I'm just like, come on, bro. You didn't even
power plants.
Yeah, power plants. I mean, Jesus Christ. Like, how powerful is your network? Like, this dude was horrible.
From that busted old, like, dirty apartment or whatever. Think about it.
He was in a horrible bunker in London where they said that the building is being built. So that means there's no structure. structure there for him to have like satellite. But this dude had like pinpoint networking that could shut off the lights of London. He did all this stuff. And I'm just like, come on. Like, it's a dude with no legs. I was just like, okay, great. So we already know Mike Banning is going to kick him down the stairs or shoot him like nothing. And that's exactly what he does. Then you have the other brother.
Huh? Well, then you're ruining this movie for me.
That's exactly what we do. That's why I hate doing this damn show. And then you have Mike, and then you have the other brother. Very tough.
Yeah.
And told him, you know, and when it comes to the walkie-talkies, he was just like, oh, you just made it worse. You know, I'm going to torture the president even slower. My man took his brother and stabbed his ass slower. And he's like, can you hear this? And he's like, and he looks mad scared. And yeah. I was just like, okay, great. But at the end of the day, after those three dudes are peel him away, there's nothing
henchmen.
Else. Done. Yes, they're just pawns of what? They were not from it. They were nothing. They had a team of 10 dudes busting in against Mike Banning and the president, and Mike Banning literally wiped them all out in the living room. These guys were supposed to be trained mercenaries, and he just destroyed them.
And I will say, compare that with the first movie, where the terrorists are in the White House, like the main villains are in the White House, getting their hands dirty,
smacking
killing people
the president.
In there.
Like
telling you what's
up.
Going like they had more charisma too. Like this guy, you're right, yeah. Alex. He just like pops up every couple times. And Rich, I will say, I agree, while that may be realistic to like
see,
real
that's
life
what I was
terrorist.
To me, that was
does that make for the most entertaining watch right. of an action
now movie? You got fucking rude.
this is the thing. Like I would like your logic, like going, oh yeah, but then we know in part three there's a bigger guy to that. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, okay, you know. At the end of the movie, you see the bigger guy going.
Or if this
going,
was based on a true story, then I'd be like, oh, okay. But it's pure fiction. Yeah. So like, you know, make him a little more.
But even if you look at Olympus Has Fallen, Mike Banning himself was like, these guys are good. These guys are trained. Mm-hmm. Like he was getting his ass beat by one guy. This
he was wiping these dudes out.
He was totally. And that's where, me and Nate talk about this. This is where it's out of A, the hero becomes a superhero that no one could touch him. Or the villains are really watered down and they're not good at what they're doing. Mike Banning is really good at what he does. Because we all know he's a Secret Service agent and he's like the best of the best of the best. So in this case, the villains are not as good. My man wiped out 10 dudes in an apartment. He wiped out 6 dudes in the tunnel, subway tunnel, with a gas canister and a grenade. And destroy those guys. So, like, for me, his tactical mind, yes, is more superior than all those guys because he's there to protect the president. But at the end, if you really look back and peel the onion back, the villains were not as good as what you saw on screen. At the first 10 minutes, you're like, wow, these villains are amazing. But once Mike Banning got to do his stuff, it's like, oh, these dudes are whack. Like, that's like you team him up with Rambo. These dudes, president.
They're mostly cannon fodder.
Yeah, so.
Okay, well, then I got a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, you said either they become a superhero or the villains are watered down. Is there any action movies where the hero, the main guy, gets his butt kicked but just barely gets by?
Yeah.
Is there any, like.
Die Hard, the first Die Hard movie.
Yeah, John Wick 1 got his ass beat.
True. Yeah.
John Wick got his ass beat by three thugs. And then all of a sudden he gets his gun and it's like pretty much he gets his ass beat even at towards the end. Like he's in the club. He gets beat by that guy. He gets tortured with the guy. He puts the bag over his head, handcuffed, and he's trying to fight his way out. So like there is movies like that. Die Hard 1, Nate said it the best. He had to fight to go through this building. Die Hard Part 4, where he had to go through those terrorists. And they
Die Hard 3.
Die Hard 3 with a vengeance.
The dude is at the mercy of the terrorists the whole time.
Yeah.
He's got to literally do everything he wants him to do. Otherwise, they're going to blow. So like it can be done. But most action movies do
they follow
this.
The same formula.
They do this, where it's like, okay, the first one might be a little grounded, and then we're going to turn this guy mega, which is, it could work. But, because John Wick, the sequels do, he gets more super as they go.
John Wick
starts falling
out
of 47-story buildings, and he's fine.
Yeah. So, like, if you're asking me which is the ones that, like Nick said, Die Hard 1, you got John Wick 1. Yeah. I mean, almost all of the main ones, Terminator 2, if you really want to say, like the robot, like if you really look at him, he's a robot, but he still gets his ass beat towards the end. They're shooting at him.
And yeah, that's true.
Like, when he goes in that lava, he's like wrecked.
Yeah, he's
done. That's a lava to steal. He's like, he got one arm, his face is ripped off. If he was a human equivalent to getting
beat up. If you look at that in that way, you know, or Reese, Terminator's one, like he had to go against that. He gets his ass blown up from a pipe bomb. So So if you really look at it, there are layers of that. I'm just saying is that this movie particular, I wish it was more stronger foes that he went up against, but it was not. It was just a typical, he's the best of the best against these guys. So again, either way, whatever you want, I gave it a 2.5.
I wish you gave it a 2, a regular 2.
No, I gave it the 0.5 because I love the master plan of the bombs and everything.
You're almost Nate because you did it.
I almost Nated it, but I had to give the thing. So, all right, 2.5 for me. You guys gave your scores. Now, let's get to action sequences. Rich, you go first on that.
Oh, I thought they were pretty cool. The helicopter ones when they're all dodging the heat-seeking missiles.
Yeah.
The hand-to-hand combats. I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah. The action is great in this. I give it a 4. No, wait. Yeah. Yeah, I give it a 4.
All right. Ooh. Nate, what you got there?
All right. I gave the first movie a 4. Mm. And I do think this one has way more diversity of action than the first movie. Now, what I had mentioned earlier about the budget, that helicopter scene is where you could kind of see that it only cost $60 million. Very CGI. Some of the explosions are not great, but mostly it looks, it looks passable. Like, I'm not saying it looks bad. It just looks like it didn't cost $100 million. That being said, I agree with Rich in that you get that scene. That's a lot of fun. You got the first, like that first scene where they're at the funeral or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like when it first pops off.
Yeah, London.
Similar to the one where they take over the White House in the first movie. And you got Mad Dude just all of a sudden turning and shooting people. And there's a bunch of civilians getting blown up and run over and shot. Love it. I mean, I don't love it in real life, but I love it in movies. And then, you know, you have that. But there's one scene towards the end where my man Mike Bennett, it's like a long take. And he's running through people in the streets. Like with when the mercenaries show up, and I'm not gonna lie, it's absolutely dope. And I think this one has better action than the first movie. And I gave it a 5. I gave it a 5. This one, as far as action, it's better than the first movie.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny, like when it comes to action, like this series, it's hard to top that White House beginning when shit just pops off. The lawn scene, the
garbage cargo train.
Yeah, the garbage trucks blowing up and then just like cannons are shooting out of them. And then you got the dudes flying and shooting everybody on the floor.
All the innocents on the street.
Yeah. So like, I'm like, how can they top this off? And I'm going to tell you right now, this movie was speaking my language. This movie is speaking my language. This movie has perfect action sequences. And I don't say this much, and Nate knows this. It has perfect. I mean, from driving sequences to shooting sequences, hand-to-hand sequences, team-up sequences, mercenaries and Mike Banning doing some Call of Duty shit, like at the end. Let me tell you something. This movie has it all, and it is I'm going to drop it now. It's a perfect sequel to the first movie. This is what you want in a sequel. Like, it doesn't matter storyline. We're going to talk about that in the next thing. But in terms of an action movie, does it up the first one? It does. It's a less movie. It's an hour and 30 something minutes. It's lower in time, but the pacing was amazing. I was into it. I was like, oh shit. Like, it was awesome. I loved it. Certain things I picked, and we were going to talk about it in storyline, but hand to hand. I love Mike Banning in these situations. Like I said, that Call of Duty thing at the end, I looked at my wife. I said, till this day, I do not know why we do not have a Call of Duty movie, a Rainbow Six movie, the Division movie, fucking Ghost Recon movie, because this dude literally proved that you could actually do it he put the night vision and I felt like I was playing Call of Duty. I was like, yo, this is crazy. He's just stabbing dudes in the neck. He's just stabbing them. And I was like, yo, this is dope. I was like, that is cool. In the tunnel, he threw the smoke bomb. I'm like, what is he going to do? And then he threw he looked mad nonchalant. He just threw the grenade.
He wrapped it in a paper.
Yeah.
He threw it.
So they don't hear. And my wife was like, why are they putting it in paper? I was like, because he doesn't hear the tinging on the floor. So it muffles the sound of the grenade hitting on the floor. And she was like, damn. I was like, yeah. I was like, I play a lot of action games. So I was like, I know. So he took it. He threw it. Boom. My man came from the other side and just tagged them all. He slid on the floor. And then my man just tortured the guy. And I was like, this is what we need. Like, just pure action movies. Now, the helicopter scene. I totally agree with you, Nate. This joint is mad CG. It looked great for CGI. I was like, it looks really good. But then there's some other times.
It looks not
when
great.
It was spinning, I was like, oh, this doesn't look good. But other than that,
and when
I
they love, explode, it looks horrible. Like the explosions look horrible.
Yeah. I love the helicopter that sacrificed itself for it. It turns sideways. Motion? Yeah. I said, yo, that's dope. I said, that is freaking dope. So, and then The beginning. That beginning is freaking amazing. The car blows up. And I was like, yo, they literally killed and wiped out every country's prime minister in this sequence. And I loved it. You had the Chinese minister in the bridge. Done. You got the Canadian dude.
That German
blew up.
Lady.
You got the dude with the Italy that blew up the church. I was like, holy shit. Like, this dude done. And I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. And I love that incendiary bomb that ate through the president's
on the hood?
Engine. Yeah. I was like, what is this awesome sauce? I was like, this is amazing. Oh, dude. And then the car sequences when he's like, where are you? And then you see the Range Rover coming and they go in and then the driving sequences kick in. This was a video game. If you really look at it, this is a video game. If you any play any action video game, movie-based video game, this is it. You got the car chase and you see them and you're like, bah, 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 you're tagging dudes. And then from there, you got to get out and do. Oh, I loved it. It's a 5. Oh, I could be here all day talking about it because this joint is dope. But it's a 5. It's a 5 here. Okay, storyline, neat.
I'm glad you got that out the way.
I did get it out the way.
Because this is a 2 storyline. It's not good. Now, I gave the first movie a 4. I think it's actually has a really good story because there's a buildup. Here, you have, okay, they blow up the wedding. Then, flash forward 2 years. This guy, first of all, the plan is so ridiculous. You mentioned a lot of stuff when you were talking about the villains that absolutely goes here. Okay, this dude with the network, first of all, he turns off all the power everywhere. He turns off all the power. And I kid you not, go back and watch it. The very next scene, the person is doing a speech on camera, broadcast out to everybody. Didn't they have no power? Literally 1 second ago. And now he's able to do a speech and they could broadcast it to everybody. And he's like, we got this under control. No, you don't. Got nothing under control. It's dumb. The villains are written, to me, they're too generic. It's too like, I want revenge. I want to kill the president. He blew up my house. Okay, cool. There's no layers. There's no depth to any of that. The villains are literally cannon fodder. I actually, the car chase scene with the motorcycles was starting to piss me off. Because it's like, okay, the first three, they went from 3 motorcycles, then they got rid of those 3 to having 5 more, They got rid of those 5 to having 18 more, and then everything's just kind of like, coming out of nowhere. Like, how do they even know? How are they all in the same place? How many people are there? There was just too much stuff where, like, okay, these guys just come out of nowhere all the time. There's a million of them. There's no military. Apparently, England doesn't have a military. They never even show up. Alex, you remember in the first movie, you were like, the U.S. military took too long to show up? Well, the British military never showed up. All they got was those mercenary guys at the end who go help Gerard Butler, who only kind of needed their help because he ended up killing like 100 of these people by himself anyway. It was too much stupid stuff, honestly, for me. So I do think while the action carries this baby and the pacing is good, and it's, like you said, it's about 20 minutes shorter than the first movie. The story's weak. It's very weak. And I gave it a 2. Not quite a 1, but it's like, it's pretty stupid. So I gave it a soft 2.
All right. What you got, Rich?
Oh, man. I hate to say this. I really hate to say this.
Say it.
I agree with Nate. I really do. Yeah, I agree with everything he said. There's little things like, I lost my train of thought as I was looking at my notes, where you brought the U.S. military would have been there. There's just no way.
Right.
Because I was watching, I was like, if you know your president, and this is Joe Biden, they ain't going to come rescue you. They would have been there with guns a-blazing, that's the only thing that really, really stuck out about what, something you didn't say was about the U.S. military not being there. Because everything you said, yeah, it was kind of lame.
Yeah. And how the heck did they infiltrate every single, like, they got the guys in the red coats. They got I'm pretty sure that job, you have to be there for a long time to get that role. And they're like, in 2 years, these dudes are spinning around, shooting air. I'm like, what?
Because
I think they killed them and took their stuff.
It's that easy. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. I'm just saying, like,
they could put a bomb in Big Ben. Nobody will notice. Nobody will see this bomb we put in this. Nobody noticed when the dude was security and he has the little stick and he puts a bomb onto the car. Yeah. None of the other cops ever saw a bomb sitting on it.
I was just like, what? I was like,
this is stupid.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have bomb sniffing dogs. Too?
Yeah. But not that day.
Not that day. Yeah. They were off. The dogs, they clogged their nose or something.
They wouldn't know. They were.
So what was your score?
3.
Okay.
Oh, that's not bad.
I went, I give it a 3.
He liked it better than me, but yeah. He agreed it's stupid. At least there's that.
Oh. But it's still fun. All right. That's why I gave it a 3.
Come on, Alex.
It was still fun.
Bring it home.
I'm bringing it home, baby. Man, uh-oh. On a time run at home plate, it's time for me to cash it in. I gave it a 1. Here is why. Everything I said before about the villains applies here. Everything you guys said applies here. But the things that I gotta add here, shit is that make no damn sense. One, okay, there was no response by none of the cops. Like, these dudes, sure, you did get surprised, but none of the other cops were tagging nobody. Like, at all. Like, I even rewinded it because I was like, wait a minute. The dudes turned around, shot the German prime minister. It took like 20 seconds later, then the guys turned around and shot them. And I was just like, whoa, what the hell? Like, you're not going to notice what the hell's going on. Then when Mike Banning has the president down, and then you see all of a sudden everybody's terrorists. I did not understand. It was a convoluted sequence in terms of, it was good in terms of the broad scope of the action sequence of everything is mayhem, chaotic, chaos is erupting. But when you really look at it, it's kind of unpausable that every terrorist is infiltrating the Europe cop, the standing guards. Then you have, like, I forgot the other dudes, like, that are high up in rankings. These dudes are in there coming out and shooting too.
MI6. Remember that guy? The guy in MI6?
Yeah. You then, okay, so he turned, which I was like, okay, fine. It's that's plausible.
Be an inside man.
Yeah, you got the inside man, you got the video feed. Cool. But my problems is that everybody was a terrorist. And then when the president and Mike Banning is running through the streets, there's nobody walking around. I'm like, is this the purge? I was like, whoa, like, I mean, what the hell?
To be
happened?
Fair, if you lived in that city, you wouldn't be outside either. If there
yeah,
was
but
a,
you will have some people out. Like, mm-hmm. out and about, like, looting. There'll be a lot of looters. You'll be homeless people. But this was straight up, like, dead.
60
nobody.
Million budget.
Yeah. I was just going to say that.
I know. I'm just saying is like, there's certain things that...
Nobody. Yeah, no cars, was, nothing.
Nothing at all. And then at the end, you know, even when... And I have problems, too, is when the president takes the BMW and he goes, I haven't drove a car in a while. And I say, okay, cool.
6 years.
Yeah. So I was like, that's fine. I was like, that's cool. It is what it is. I totally understand that bit. But they put landmines, coincidence, down the street that he's going to be driving. There's landmines. I was like, what the fuck? Like, you had landmines. And I'm like... And then they have this happy moment, like, we did it. Yay. And the fucking truck comes and hits him from the side. And I was like, come on, hun. I was like, I told my wife, I would have peeled off of that. I was like, that was not believable. Because first of all, the minute you see or hear a truck coming super fast, your first initial reaction is to speed up or even try to do one of these to get hit from the back and then you spin around and then keep going. These dudes literally just was like, yay, bang. They flip over, they grab the president, and then coincidence, the mercenary guys were just like down the block. Hey, there you guys go. They just took the president. Let's go get him.
They got him an ice cream truck or whatever. They drove away.
Like, yeah, okay, so my cool. problem with this storyline, was it good? It's an okay sequel to the movie. Like, I have fun. It's a popcorn flick, and I will totally mm-hmm. watch this more than once because I enjoyed it for what it is. But in a landscape, like, in terms of storyline, this is atrocious. It's horrible. You're just like, oh, really? It's not even, it took 2 years to plan all of this out to get everyone infiltrated and all this. Mike Banning is the only one that moved up the president's schedule and no one else. Like, that's the stuff that, like, irks me.
It also
in this
seems
whole
like
situation.
A 5 to 10 year plan. More yes. than a 2 year plan.
Dude, yes, that's not a 2 year. Like, how do they know? First of all, what happened if the president said, I'm not going?
How'd they know there was going to be a funeral on that day?
Well, I mean, they did kill the guy.
Yes, they did. They killed the dude.
Yeah, they killed the guy. They literally killed the guy to get everyone there.
Okay, like, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess.
But it's so far-fetched. What happened? The president goes, oh, I'm not going to go. Like, and so what happened? How are you going to get the president of the United States to go to London?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, he's like, I can't make it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Like, what happened?
Plan off?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I hated about this movie. Because I looked at my wife. I was like, what if the president said, I want to catch a baseball game?
See, that's why Olympus is better because they came to him.
Yeah. Yes.
They at the White House on your turf, on your ground. This is neutral field. London, first of all, gets treated like who cares, right? It's just like they blow it up. Yeah. They blow up all their sites.
Monuments.
Parliament gets exploded. Yeah. Everything, like, whatever. Sorry, London.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, I felt like I totally understand why they went where they went. But for me, it's like if this whole storyline is about the United States president, it should have been somewhere in the United States that they trying to, like, maybe Camp David. Maybe they will, you know, infiltrate Camp David, or that would be pretty cool sequences there, or some other bunker or some damn thing. But yeah, it's just too far. I don't know. I gave it a one. I wasn't too crazy. And then you had a guy with no legs running everything from a computer. I was like, come on. Yeah. Even the scene that he's like, they knocked the power out and he's like hitting buttons and he goes, I gotta get the network to run. And he's like hitting this thing. And I was like, oh, come on. Like, this is so dumb. But anyway, one for me. All right. Overall, let's take it home here. Nate, what do you got overall?
Overall, I gave it a 3 because I actually do think it is an entertaining movie. When I was watching it, I was having a good time, mostly because the action is good. And I do think Mike Banning's, I like the characters and I like the action. And sometimes, even when a movie has a terrible storyline or plot or bad script, you can make up for it in other ways. And I think this movie does mostly a good job. So I stopped short of giving it like a 4 or 5 because, like, to me, when watching a movie, a story is very important. And I can look past it, though. I was entertained. Good pacing. It's only in like 95 minutes. It's an hour and 38, I think, but that's with credits. So it's like 95 minutes. There's a couple good little one-liners and zingers and tons of good action. So just from an action movie perspective, I end up giving it a pass and I gave it a 3.
All right, Rich, what you got?
I give it a 4. This is the kind of action movie that I would watch with my dad. Or actually kind of, because he would enjoy this if he still watched the movies. And that's when I was watching. I was like, oh, my dad would love this. He would just, people getting killed. And I dug this a lot. I had fun. I watched it twice. About a month ago, I watched it. And then I just watched it the other day again. And yeah, this is when you can just pop on, pop some popcorn, get a snack, and just have a lot of fun. Mike is just, I love his character. I even like him in the what's it called? Angel? Angel Has Fallen? I did that one too. So yeah, this is definitely a 4 for me.
Yeah, for myself, I gave it a 4. I think it's a great sequel to the first one. Yeah, storyline, I have problems with it. But at the end of the day, it did its job. It entertained me. I got amped from the action sequences. I thought they all worked out very well. Even loved the scene that they were about to cut the dude's head off. And my man Mike Banning came in and shot up. I like that whole thing from the, you saw it from the camera's point of view of him coming in and shooting. So I thought that was pretty cool. But at the end of the day, it's a fun sequel. I would put this up against other action sequels. Not top 5 of all time, but I could put this up against like a Die Hard 2, Lethal Weapon up 2, like those bigger franchises. This will hold up with those movies. So with that, that's a 4. All right, total points, boys. What you got, Rich? Total points.
Let me pull my points up. I got a 20.
You got a 20. All right. What you got, Nate?
17 out of 25.
I got a 17.5 on this 0.5. one. That 0.5, baby. That's what I got. So yeah, there you have it. This was fun.
It was entertaining. Nate. It was an entertaining movie. It is.
Yeah.
You could be entertaining and kind of bad, and that's what this movie is. It's kind of bad, but it's entertaining, and it's an easy watch.
All right, Nate, what's coming up next on the podcast?
All right, well, Rich will be back for another episode, and we are continuing on with our movies that are based on assassins / hitmen. So hired contract killers. We're going to be covering Smokin' Aces from 2007, I believe is when it came out. And then next week, we will wrap up the Has Fallen franchise with Angel Has Fallen, a movie that I've seen the first 15 minutes of and nothing else. I went into a movie theater waiting for another movie to start, saw 15 minutes, left, and I never watched the rest. So this will be pretty much a first time watch for me as well. So those are the next two coming up.
All right, Rich, thank you so much for joining us on this episode.
No, thank you for having me, man. It's an honor. I love hanging out with you guys. So it's awesome to be here.
Thanks for agreeing with me
on that one. That never happens.
Thanks for being right for once. You did it.
I'm gonna write that down.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, guys, you guys want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to youtube.com/action movie guys. Subscribe, leave comments on your favorite episodes, and then of course you can take us on the go with the Action Movie Guys podcast, available on all podcast platforms. Other than that, I'm your host, Ash Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews,
and our special guest is Rich from Faces for Radio. Be awesome to each other and geek out.